This is Linda Wright, and she'll lead us in our scripture memory verse.
Okay. In case you want to know where it is, it's right here, John 20, 31. Okay, here we go. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. John 20, verse 31. One more time. And these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. John 20, verse 31. There you go.
Most of you know that I ask the Lord to give me a scripture every year. At the beginning of the year, I ask him for a scripture for the year. And this year, could I have your phone? One of them is in the Amplified, but if you're doing it on your phone and you're looking up on the Bible, on the Bible app, and you go under Amplified, it doesn't say the same as the written book says. You have to go to Classic, Amplified Classic. So, just so that you know, hang on to your paper Bibles. That's all I have to say about that. But I actually have two scriptures because I needed to know this particular thing. And the first one is Acts 16:31 in the Amplified Classic. And it says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Give yourself up to him. Take yourself out of your own keeping and entrust yourself into his keeping, and you will be saved. And this applies both to you and to your household as well. So the key thing being that explanation of giving, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, give yourself up to him. Take yourself out of your own keeping and entrust yourself into his keeping, and you will be saved. That is Acts 16:31. Acts 16:31. And the other one is that I was very, very excited about, and actually the first one that I got was 1 Corinthians 2:9. I think it's 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 2:9. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the mind of men the things that God has prepared for those who love him. 1 Corinthians 2:9, I think. Yes. If somebody looks it up and says, yes, it is. Okay, good. So that is our scripture for the year. That's what we're hanging on to, because we don't know what God has planned. But he has, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man, or into the mind of man. Is it heart or man? Heart or mind? Into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. God has our year all prepared. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place, I will come again, and I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He has gone away to prepare a place for you, for all of us who believe, who don't trust in ourselves, who don't trust in our own keeping. We need God to keep us. So we want to keep that in our mind. And of course, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it, because God is so good. God has been so good. I was actually I think I have it at the end of the teaching, but just a song that had come to my mind this morning. But this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is my day. Yeah, so anyway, Lord Jesus, as we just enter into this introduction on the book of John, Father, the Gospel of John, the story of who you are, Lord, the explanation of your purpose here, the clarity in what we find in this book of John is just so, it oozes with your love, Lord, and help us to grasp it, Lord. Help us to hang on to it, and help me have a memory right now, Lord. Call to my mind everything that you have for me to say this morning, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so I heard a story of a lady who was reminiscing how her faith had grown since she started studying her Bible. And she talked with her friend. She told her that she found the book of John to be the most important book that she has studied. And when her friend asked why, she looked at her with like, how can you miss it? You've missed some important message here. The lady said, John just oozes with the love of God. It just oozes with the love of God. And if you come away from reading and studying John, she said, without learning of the love of Jesus being the basis of our faith, then you have not been paying attention. This book of John is the one that we oftentimes will say to a new believer, read the book of John. Why? Because it explains who Jesus is. It explains his purpose for coming. It explains the things that he's done. And John will say in the very end of it, I've told you a few stories, but there isn't room in this world for me to be able to write down all the things that Jesus did. And so there just wouldn't be room for it. So we'll find that out at the end of the book. And we will also find out why this book was written. So John had made that real in this lady's life. And as we enter the study, let's come with a sense of expectation. Most of us have read the book of John. Most of us have studied the book of John. But let's come with the same expectation that we had in the very beginning to learn what God has for us to learn from it and to grow and have that same kind of expectation. We will learn more of the reason that this book was written, that you would know. The reason that it was written is that you may know that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, that he came, that he died, that he lived, he died, and he rose again, that you might know him. Philippians said that I might know you and the power of your resurrection share. In the power of your resurrection, that I might know that the fellowship of your suffering. It's an election year. The fellowship of your suffering. Do I want to be that close to Jesus? Can I truly say that? You know, when things are going really good, I can say that. Oh, yeah. Fellowship of your suffering. Oh, let me have the fellowship of your suffering. And then the suffering comes. I go, oh, God, what's going on? What happened? Am I out of fellowship with you? Did I do something wrong? Am I being punished? Oh, my goodness, what's going on? Remember when you prayed fellowship of your suffering to be conformed unto your death? God is going to show us who he is. This gospel is different from the other three gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. This one is unique among the Gospels. The style of writing is rather poetic, and the date of the writing was quite some time after the others had written theirs. So he's not going to write the same story from a different eye view. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all told the story from a different viewpoint. But John doesn't even tell that same story. We will learn more of the reason of this book that you would know Jesus Christ. And the style of the writing is poetic. The date was written after the other Gospels. John was known as the one Jesus loved. You know, Jesus never did that. He never put that label on him. Who put that label on John? John did. Yeah. But you know what? I'm the one that Jesus loves. And you're the one that Jesus loves. And you're the one that Jesus loves. All of us are the one that Jesus loves. So we put ourselves in that same category. It shows us the deeds of Jesus function as signs. So everything that he does in his life is with purpose. Everything we do in our life is with purpose. I don't know about wasting time yet. Does that have a purpose? Can anybody come up with a purpose for wasting time, please? Somebody, please help me out here. Oh, rest. Yes. Oh, I'm resting. Yes. Being lazy. It draws us into a desire for that same relationship with our Heavenly Father. So be prepared to meet God in a way that you have never before through the person of Jesus Christ throughout this whole study. Every week is going to be something different. And God is going to show you things that you're going to be surprised. I've read this Bible. I've read the book of John a bunch of times. I never saw that. That's because the Word of God is alive. That's because the Word of God is ever changing, yet always remaining the same. It only changes by the things that we notice. So we notice that it was there. And so John will ask questions in this book, show God's works in this book, and tell lots of stories, but not all of them, as we've already stated, because there's not enough room. So who's John talking to? He's talking to Jews and Greeks and Samaritans, and many of who dearly love philosophy. And John speaks into that philosophy, into that area in a way, the way he told his stories, the way that he put these things in. He told it just as so that they could understand it. John puts it in a way that we can all grasp. And that's why we have a new believer read it. We begin with Jesus' divine genealogy. Instead of starting with the birth of Jesus or at the beginning of his ministry, John takes us all the way back to creation. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word is God. The Word is Jesus. Jesus is the Word. And so Jesus is not just a prophet or just the Messiah, though he's certainly both. He's part of the Godhead, part of the Trinity. He is God the Son. He is the Son of God. He's God the Son and the Son of God. We need to believe both of those. And you say, well, you just turn the words around. No, there are different meanings to it. He is God the Son, and he is the Son of God. That's the same person. He is the second person of the Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all one, all part of the Godhead, all one in the same, all God. So he's come from heaven and has taken the form of a human being to show people what God is like and for the purpose of laying down that life as a sacrifice for my sins and for yours. John 3:16 and 17 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him would not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." I memorized that when I was probably 10 years old. And I memorized 17 so I could get a pencil. But let me tell you, the power in memorizing God's word, for whatever the motive was at that time, that has stayed in my heart. Now I memorize because I want to know God better. I want to remember his word. So memorizing the word of God is important. John says Jesus is the word, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Just as a word reveals a thought, Jesus is the expression of God, physically revealing the invisible, spiritual presence of God. Jesus is the expression of God, physically revealing the invisible, spiritual presence of God. Jesus is God who became a human being and lived here with us. We'll see in verse 14 of chapter 1. In the Gospel of John, there's a great deal of narrative. There's a great deal of talking going on. And these narratives emphasize his teachings and the prayers of Jesus. It emphasizes the conversations between Jesus and his disciples, between Jesus and his Father, and also conversations that will go on a little bit later with another group. And in that narrative are the discourses that usually begin with a question. There are lots of questions in the book of John, and those questions often came this way. Here comes the question. There's a little dialogue going on, and then Jesus enters into teaching. So you have the question, the dialogue, and the monologue. So Jesus enters in from that teaching. He enters in to the teaching of what is before them. Although the Gospel of John is rooted in historical events of Jesus' life, its primary purpose is persuasion. That persuasion to come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. The meaning of Jesus' life and ministry takes center stage. Its purpose is to draw every generation. Every generation. Even this generation. To himself. It's the purpose of doing that. The Word made flesh. The life and ministry of Jesus calls believers to make a clear choice. That's what we're going to find in John. That the life and ministry of Jesus calls believers to make a clear choice. It gives us the contrast between life and death, darkness and light, truth and falsehood, or lies. There is no middle ground when you walk with Jesus. There are no gray areas. Well, what about, I don't think the Bible's clear on that. Well, pray about it, and you will see the clarity that's there. You will see what Jesus has to say, what God has to say. Jesus is intimately connected with his community. We'll see that in the book of John, with his followers and the community, as well as with his heavenly Father. The community makes a choice that leaves no doubt in anyone's minds of who they were following. At that time, John would come in and he would say, love one another. Just love one another. Love one another. It is the book of love. We see images in this gospel. By images, I mean, we speak of him as being the good shepherd, the light of the world. It's filled with a lot of symbolic language, the difference between the light and the dark. It's intended to speak to our hearts and to shape the way we think. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And so it shapes the way that we think. The truth of who Jesus is in John could never be conveyed by just the facts, ma'am. Now, if you're old enough, that phrase means something to you. That was Sergeant Friday, if I have it correct. Just the facts, ma'am. Just the facts. Don't put any narrative into it. Don't put any other, just the facts. But it doesn't work for John with just the facts. The other gospels do that very well. The truth of who Jesus is in John, it is given to us in, so it's given to us in symbols. And what is a symbol? A sensible reality which renders present to and involves a person subjectively in a transforming experience of a transcendent mystery. That's clear as mud to me, right? But that's what they said that was. So that is to say, we are brought into the mystery, and that mystery is Christ and his church. That mystery of what Jesus has done for us. The symbolic speech draws people in. To say that Jesus was in the Davidic lineage wouldn't convey his divine lineage. It wouldn't have the same impact as Jesus' divine lineage. The other Gospels show Jesus as the reconciler. John tells the story of the woman at the well. The other Gospels show Jesus eating meals with the people. John tells us that Jesus is the bread of life. The other Gospels show how, it sounds like I'm putting the other Gospels down. I'm not. Really, I'm just saying, John's better, but I just a different view. These are the jokes. Do not cut this piece out of the thing and make me say something I didn't say. So the other gospel shows how Jesus served others, but John tells the story of how Jesus wrapped the towel around himself and he washed their feet. See, he tells a story. He brings it into reality, not just our thoughts. Jesus uses images to speak of himself. Five times he uses I am. In chapter 8, 24, and 28, and 58, and then again in 13, 19. All the times he says, I am. I am this, I am that, I am the great I am. Each of these recalls the revelation of God to Moses on the Mount Sinai. All of them are connected with that. These images tell us who he is, that he is the bread of life, that he is the light of the world, that he is the door, that he is the gate of the sheep, that he is the good shepherd, that he is the vine, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Each tells us Jesus was active on our behalf in his life, demonstrating who he is and the love of the Father. Each one of them shows us that Jesus was active on our behalf in his life, demonstrating who he is and demonstrating the love of the Father. He initiates relationship with us. You think you found God? Oh no, he was the one who initiated that relationship with you. He was the one who was poking at you all the time. Come to me. We're invited to partake of the bread of life. We're invited to enter through the door. We are invited to follow the great shepherd. We are invited to be a part of that vine. We are invited to know intimately the way, who is Jesus, the truth, who is Jesus, and the life, who is Jesus. We need to know him intimately. Have that intimate relationship with him. Here in John, we find an abundance of questions. Questions from those who were against him, from his disciples, his followers, and from Jesus himself. And the questions move the story on as we go through. In the Christian life, there are no pat answers. Did you know that? How many of us, when someone comes to us, we go, oh, that's the answer right there. Oh, that's the answer. And God says, wait, there are no pat answers, because that answer for you is not necessarily the answer for her. There are no pat answers. Find out what God has to say. Life is searching. It is being always in awe of who he is and continually being open to the work of the Holy Spirit. Continually being open to the work of the Holy Spirit. Questions remind us that God's revelation is never entirely understandable. His revelation is not always entirely understandable. We can always learn more. We can always love more. We can always be better followers of Jesus. This morning when I was trying to quickly put something together, and of course the computer doesn't work that way, and I just want to grow in being kinder. I want to be a nicer person when I'm at the computer. So we can always learn more, love more, be better followers of Jesus. And those who oppose Jesus would ask in chapter 3, verse 4, how can a person be born again? In 6:9, 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what's that among so many? In 6:60, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? In 6:28, what shall we do that we may do the works of God? And in 13:6, Lord, are you watching my feet? The religious leaders' questions are much different. In 4:29, could this be the Messiah? In 8:19, where is your father? In 9:40, are we blind also? In 12:34, who is the Son of Man? You can just feel it in those questions, can't you? You can just feel their attitude, their thought pattern. And Jesus' questions in 5:6, do you want to be well? Bill Ferris wrote a book that says, how healed do you want to be? I think Jesus is asking that same question. How healed do you want to be? Do you want to be well? In 8:7, who are you looking for? In 18:11, which we won't get to in this session, shall I not drink the cup the Father gave me? And in 21:16, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Are you a disciple of Jesus? All of us who call ourselves Christians are disciples. We have a big name. We're disciples. We're always learning. And among them, all Christians are disciples, and among them, greatness is determined. Our greatness is determined by our loving relationship with Jesus, no matter what office we hold, no matter where our position is inside or outside of the church. It has to do with our relationship with Jesus Christ. The Gospel of John draws us into prayer. It wakes us up to our need to pray, individually and in groups. Individually and in groups. God deals with us individually, and he speaks to us in groups. Of course, prayer meetings in churches are notoriously small. Always. And I'm not quite sure why, other than the fact that where two or more are gathered together, there is he in the midst. And if two agree as touching any one thing, that we have it. So pray together. Find out what God will do. You don't have to come to a prayer group that's here, but develop some ladies to get together, and that's what you do, is pray. Now, notoriously also, prayer groups go into, and then, then I went over there, but she said this, and then that happened, and then that happened, and all of a sudden you go, we haven't prayed yet. So reminding ourselves, prayer time is for prayer. Yes, we share, and yes, we pray. So tying those two together. And as you get to know each other better, sometimes you do have a longer talk and you pray a shorter time before you have to go, or somebody leaves when they have to leave. And so you work it out so that you can all pray together. It's really important that you do that. As you walk through this study, please pray before you start your study and invest some time in prayer and in listening for what God has to say to you. And then When you finished your lesson, pray again. Thank God for what you've learned and what you are learning. So John tells us a lot more stories and has a lot of questions asked and answered, and John encourages us to pray. John tells us lots of stories, but only the great ones, because he doesn't have enough to be able to do that. In John 21:25, it says that there wouldn't be room. In John 20:31, it tells us why John wrote this book, this gospel, that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. In his name brought another song to my mind. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, demons will have to flee. That's Pentecostal. When you sin on the name of Jesus, who can ever stand before us? In the name of Jesus, Jesus, we have the victory. We have the victory in the name of Jesus. And as we study through this book of John, we are excited. I look at it with expectation. I want to know Jesus in a new way, in a more intimate way. I want to grow closer to him. I want him to know me inside and out, which he already does, but I want to be like him. And so, Father, we thank you, Lord, for this study. We thank you, Lord, as we get into our small groups. Lord Jesus, I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that you would just continue to minister to us, Lord. Continue to draw us close to you. Help us to be responsive. Lord, help us to seek forgiveness quickly, to confess our sins quickly, and to move forward, Lord, in the things that you have for us. And we thank you and we praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus!
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495.
In the power of your name, I'm giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on. In the power of your name.